Welcome to the Anthropology Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Walker. As a former naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I align the intersection of personal performance, purpose, and innovative thinking in badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. Anthropology is the study and science of what makes an entrepreneur think, feel, and perform in a path compelled by a vision for helping others, solving problems, while building a life on your own terms. Together, we are exploring the health, mindset, and strategies that distinguish the world's best entrepreneurs. This is the Anthropology Podcast. My husband likes to joke that I am a rule follower, and I throw a great deal of contention at his assertion because I actually couldn't think of anything that's further from the truth. The reality is I don't like rules. I don't like rules that don't make sense. I don't like rules that feel forced upon me. And I really delve into this in our own mastermind where I frequently cite this notion that I don't work from a place of rules. I work from a place of frameworks. But I do believe that they have a place in both our society and in our lives. So while I don't enjoy rules and definitely don't like rules being placed upon me, I simultaneously don't like getting in trouble. I simultaneously appreciate at least understanding what the boundaries are and the expectations of my behavior. And so when it comes to living my own life, when it comes to being able to execute in alignment with my own values, I actually leverage rules in a really interesting way. You see, a few years ago, I read one of my most favorite books. It was completely impactful on my life because it changed my way of thinking, and it's called The Code of the Extraordinary Mind. It was written by Vishen Lakhiani, who's the founder of Mind Valley. And Vishen talks about this idea of rules, also known as bullshit rules. These are rules that society has created, the culture scape has created for us. And what happens when we are unintentional about the rules that we want to live by is that by default, we start to subscribe to society's rules for how things should be done. Society's rules include things like how we should feed our kids, how we should educate our children, how we should dress, what is considered beautiful, what is considered successful financially, what is considered successful from an acquisition perspective or the type of car that we drive. If we aren't clear on defining our own set of rules in life, Vishen contends, and I have observed, that we fall victim to these rules that are created by society. And so I made a decision, and I feel like most of the things that happen in my life in a positive way come from one, having clarity, and two, making a decision about how I want to live and being intentional around how I want to live, that I was going to start to set my own rules. And what I found when I set my own rules is, as much as I don't enjoy having them imposed upon me, what it did for me in my own life is it created a set of boundaries, and it created for me a framework that I committed to living by. And when I designed my own rules, what it meant was I understood how to play my own version of the game. It enabled me to play a version of the game that was completely in alignment with my values, in alignment with my goals, and in alignment with where I wanted to go. And I never really started to explore or talk about this idea. In fact, I hadn't really had a framework around this idea for the last few years. And recently, a number of people had asked me, how did I stay focused on certain things? How did I know what action to take in the heat of a moment? And really what it came down to was actually pre-planning my rules. So every time I've been at, in the last 5 years or so, a major juncture in my career or how I wanted to live, what I do is I go back and I create a new set of rules. In fact, I reevaluate my rules on both an annual and quarterly basis to make sure that my actions are in keeping and the rules are still in keeping with the value system that I am executing upon at that time. And, you know, one of the first times where I really realized I was doing this at this point a little bit more inadvertently was when I left my clinical practice for the first time and I left working at the Integrative Health Institute and that larger clinic. I said, here's what I want to do. I'm deeply committed to how we move the needle and enabling more people to have access to complementary health practitioners. That was one of the things that I really wanted to be able to do. But I also wanted to maintain my own practice. And I knew in maintaining my own practice, but also creating space and the financial freedom to pursue some of these other elements, I was going to have to get really clear on what my practice was going to do for me financially. And so it was the first time where I set the rules to my own game. There was a way that things had always been done in practice previously. And I knew that I at least had clarity on the new set of boundaries that I was going to be able to get really creative in how I got around them. So that's one of the things I've known about myself, even through school, is we could have a set of rules in place. And as long as I knew what the rules were, I was really creative at finding my own way to be able to meander around them. And so the two rules I set for myself when I decided that I was going to open what I'll call a micro practice. So I set up my private practice. I maintained my patients closer to the downtown core in a co-working space. I didn't want to just exclusively practice virtually. I wanted to see my patients, but I wanted to create room in my life and in my schedule. I had really young kids at the time. I still feel like I have really young kids. And so here were the two rules I said for myself. I said, one, you need to work at most at that point, 2 days a week. I refined the rule and set the parameter, but that's all you get for your clinical practice. That includes your charting. That includes your follow-up. You get 2 work days per week. I didn't set a rule on what a work day constituted, and I'll share with you a little bit about how I got in trouble on that one. But two days per week. The second thing, you need to drive an income from those 2 days a week of over $100,000. And what it forced me to do when I made those two rules about my practice was I had to structure my practice and I had to structure my revenue streams from that practice in such a way that one, they were diversified, but two, I was doing more than just trading time for money. See, being intentional around the rules to the game meant that I had creativity in other areas of how I worked. And that's one of the things I really want to encourage everyone to have a look at. I still had my rules from my regulator that I had to make sure that I was compliant with, but I was very clear on the two objectives that my business needed to achieve. And when I had clarity around those pieces, those elements that I wanted to have in my own life, it enabled me to start to create something with a new level of creativity. It was no longer about, I'm going to do it kind of like everybody else has always done it. It was, no, I'm going to do it in alignment with this new set of rules. And so I was able to achieve that. And where I got into trouble on it, and I said I would circle back to this piece, is I said 2 work days per week, and you absolutely can't carry your work outside of that. And I was frequently finding myself at 10 o'clock at night, still in my office in that downtown core, trying to complete my files or trying to ensure that I finalized follow-up for my patients. So I missed the opportunity to create a third rule, which was around defining what my work day would look like. But that experience really laid the stage for me to start to be able to move into a new intentional mindset, where for every new thing that I would create and for every new block of time and new season of entrepreneurial creativity in my own life, I was going to have an accompanying set of rules that would help to define my decision making. One of the things I know we all have the opportunity to fall victim to is this notion of big shiny object syndrome. And how do we know on a gut check level whether or not a new opportunity that comes our way is actually in alignment with where we need to go? For me, one of the ways that I am able to say no, even when emotionally in the moment I may want to say yes, is I've created a new set of rules for the season that I am in now. Those rules relate to family. Those rules relate to how I run a business. And where I don't need rules because I'm really clear on my values, I don't include them. And what I have come to find is that once I've put a series of rules into place for a period of time, I actually, in some cases, no longer need to make them rules. They become incorporated into my life in such a way that they are now a framework and a value system that I live by. But I actually find putting the parameters on it most useful up front. when I first found out that I had celiac disease, it was incredibly helpful for me to know the rule was no gluten ever at any time. It enabled me to have that boundary in place. It enabled me to have strength when there was like really amazing smelling bread close by. But over time, I was able to lift that rule, not because I wanted to cheat, but because it just became a way of life that was so deeply integrated. And if occasionally gluten snuck into my world, what I knew is it wasn't part of the framework of how I lived to make that choice. But at the same time, if it was really worth it, I wasn't going to die. And I knew I had the discipline to go back to that framework of how I enjoyed living. So to me, the rules are really about setting the lines in the road. And the framework is where the pavement becomes that dirt road, but where we suddenly don't necessarily have that exact same line, but we have the intention of a road that we can start to live by. And so when it comes to rules and it comes to our seasons of life, I change these rules over time, but I very intentionally create them. And so as I set my intention for the year and my intention for 2021, my word for 2021 was disruption. And I'm already like leaning into what I think my word's going to be for 2022. I knew that I also needed to have a new set of rules that I live by. And as I got deeper into 2021, and as I were embarking on the second quarter, I got really clear again based on things that were going on in my own life around where I needed to have clarity. And so what I want to do is I'm going to share with you my rules, my Q2 rules, and what I am living by right now, the things that will eventually just become frameworks for how I want to live my life. And sometimes I have to take rules that were previously framework and I have to nail them back down again because I was losing course with respect to my priority, which was actually one of the, I'm going to share five rules that I'm living by right now. My first rule was actually because I was losing track of my health. I'm going to share with you what my new rules look like. And then I'm going to give you a framework to being able to start to create these rules yourself. So my first rule in Q2 was your health comes first. And I got really clear around what that meant. But part of why I had to come back to making this an actionable rule is that I have something I call a 5 a.m. project. And I'll do a separate podcast on this, but just suffice it to say, a 5 a.m. project is something that is outside of your main goal set. For me, a 5 a.m. project is something that will get you out of bed at 5 a.m. if that's when you choose to execute on it. And it's so exciting and it's just fun and it's a little bit different and it may not be related to your life goal or your business goal, but it's something that you actually want to put your time and energy into. It could be a hobby. It could be a side project. And for the last 4 months, I had a 5 a.m. project that I was working towards. It's something that I've hinted at before. I'm going to share a little bit more about over the next few weeks, but the project is called the Anthropology Planner, more to come. And we're just in the final wrap-up stages of that. But what I realized, what was getting me out of bed in the morning was working on this project. And my health, although I'm deeply committed to exercising regularly and we've got all these cool biohacking tools in our own world, my health was something I had to like squeeze out of me in terms of willpower. So there were some nights at 7 o'clock, I was like jumping onto the Peloton because I had run out of time throughout the course of the day. I had prioritized all these other things. And as we wrapped up this most recent 5 a.m. project that I was literally working on at 5 a.m., but that's not how it has to roll, I was realizing that my health was becoming a byproduct and was taking a ton of energy and personal discipline. And so what I did, my very first rule of Q2 is that your health comes first. And for me, when I say health comes first, I literally mean it is the first thing I attend to over the course of the day. The only exception to this is if I have a kid that wakes me up at night, which sometimes happens more frequently than others, gaining that little bit of extra sleep in the morning or letting me modify my routine in favor of restoration. That was one of the caveats to this rule. But when I say health comes first, what I mean is I created a really simple routine that we are executing on. So every 30 days, we pick a new 30-day challenge in terms of exercise. Right now, my husband and I are doing a 30-day Pilates challenge. And here's what happens is I get up every morning, not as early as normal, not as early as my 5 a.m. project, but I'm executing on rule number one, which is your health comes first, by 6:30 every morning. And here's what we do. It takes us usually 35 to 40 minutes to complete it. The first thing I do is I go straight downstairs and I stand in front of my Juve. So my Juve is my red light therapy. We'll link up in the show notes a link to the episode where I spoke with the founder of Juve. I stand in front of my Juve and I stretch, and two, I drink water, and two, I just set my intentions for the day. So I spend 10 minutes in front of my red light therapy panel, which ironically is right in my podcast studio. It's right beside me right now. I move from my Juve, and while I'm doing the Juve, Greg, my husband, is setting out our yoga mats downstairs. We flip on our Peloton app. I swear I get no endorsements from Peloton. I just actually really love it. We do a Pilates class. Sometimes we have time to do a 45-minute class. Sometimes we only have time to do a 10-minute class. It doesn't really matter. We do it every single day. We're committed. We're doing our 30-day Pilates challenge. And then I go upstairs and literally, as I'm in the shower, I'm also filling up the bathtub. And every single day I have been doing a cold plunge. I aim for a minute 30 to 2 minutes in that cold plunge, and I feel amazing. The whole routine takes 30 minutes. And what I've noticed, more than supplements that I'm taking, more than doing any of these things on their own, I have so much energy and focus over the course of the day. So part of the rules that I pick is that my rules actually support other things that are important to me in my life and how I live my life. So my very first rule, your health comes first, it literally means my health comes first, first thing in the day. Now, obviously, like if my kids need me or something else is going on, then great, I attend to those pieces. But part of this idea, your health comes first, is I actually have to make sure that I'm setting our schedule and setting our time so that I'm able to make it a priority. And we talk through it with our kids. So my daughter Naya has been joining me very frequently for those cold plunges. She's like, I get it. This is what I'm doing to make my health come first in the morning too. The second rule that I got really explicit around in Q2, and it required planning in Q1, is a business goal. And it is this: I'm going to stop selling me. And by stop selling me, what I mean is I am going to stop leveraging me and my time as the biggest bonus and add-on to the value of our program. So when people are coming into our mastermind now, we've been working on this actually for the last year so that we could execute on it in Q2. We actually now have a team of coaches that work with our new Code members. I have a small group within Code that I work with. Code is our mastermind. For those of you who aren't familiar, it's for practitioners. I have a small group that I work with. We've created a very distinct criteria around how you can become eligible for that group. And I have amazing coaches with tremendous experience. And I needed to, one, get out of my own way, and two, give them an opportunity to flourish. And so my team knows this, I know this, that I'm not the entity being sold in that mastermind anymore. Our content, our structure, our systems, our operations, our coaches make for an incredible experience that will move the needle on your business and your capacity to impact people. But I was absolutely going to stop selling me. And that was me needing to overcome some limiting beliefs. That was me needing to step back and address, you know, being fearful of not making myself that entity that was driving people into these programs. It was me taking the risk that if I remove me as the selling point, that we wouldn't have people moving into the program. But if I didn't set it as a rule, I was going to be forever tempted to try to step in there. It was going to be malleable in that boundary. And so it became a rule, and we absolutely stuck to it. And that's the thing about rules, is you need to share your rules with other people so they can help support you. Your family needs to know that you are gluten-free, so that when you are tempted to grab that croissant, they can be like, I know you made a commitment to not eat gluten. I'm going to help hold you accountable to your set of rules. So rule one, your health comes first. These are my rules for this quarter. They will change. Rule two, you need to stop selling you. Rule three, no work on weekends. I love the work that I do. I love what we're putting out into the world. And while I don't normally work on weekends, we're in a big phase right now where we're creating all sorts of content. And I decided to make an absolute decision. It's an absolute rule that I will not work on weekends. That includes, for this next quarter, not giving talks on weekends or being part of virtual conferences on weekends, with the exception of one or two commitments that I had placed and made many months beforehand. My weekends are a no-go time where I'm hanging out unequivocally focused on my family, having fun, playing, doing things that restore and regenerate me. That third rule, though, no work on weekends, it still means that rule number one, your health comes first, actually still is in play. So my health still comes first on weekends or during the week, but I am not doing my actual work on weekends. Rule number four, clear your debt by July 1st. So moving through the pandemic and taking on some of those really awesome government loans that we had access to last year, I didn't know what was going to happen with respect to our business. I wanted to protect my capacity to continue to pay my employees. And so I made use of and applied for some of the loans that were available. And we are in a position now where we can readily and easily pay those back. And I wanted to make sure that that was a priority in how we managed and allocated our cash flow within our business. It is always tempting to say, I'm going to spend it on other things. I'm going to put it into Facebook ads. I'm going to do whatever it is that I needed to do. I wanted to make sure that all debt associated with our business was cleared by July 1st, because we are moving into an episode in the season of discernible and distinct and intentional growth. And for me, from a mindset perspective, I wanted to clear off some of those debts walking into that piece. So rule number four, clear your debt by July 1st. I find rules work well and work best when you're specific with them. So that enables me to make cash flow planning decisions in alignment with that goal. As we were moving through the first half of the year, we have hit that. So that was one of the things that I wanted to make sure that I was really intentional around. And my fifth rule, and this is a rule that I'll probably have in place for the next little while because it will drive decisions with respect to my business, are two things. One, I want you to make $10 million decisions. And two, I want you to make decisions that relate to your impact goal of reaching 50 million people, giving 50 million people access to upstream medicine within the next 3 years. So we've created some really ambitious income goals for our company, as well as impact goals for our company. And as we get deeper and as we create more clarity, and we've made this a rule, you need to make rules that are in alignment with having your $10 million revenue annually goal. You need to make decisions that are in alignment with your impact goal of reaching 50 million people. There are so many opportunities that start to emerge as you get deeper into your career, as your tentacles start to spread. And it's really critical, at least for me, that I have very distinct guidelines and guidance around how I'm going to be making those decisions moving forward. As we launch different philanthropic arms, as we launch different things, I'm going to be able to put different rules in place in terms of how I allocate my decision making. But right now, while we're putting the structure in place to be able to hit these two critical goals, it's important for me as the CEO of our company and as the CEO of my own state of leadership and health that I am making decisions that are in alignment with these two outcomes. Because I know if I do that for a period of time, we're going to be in a position where we can start to make new rules and new goals that actually work adjacent to these. So the intention behind all of these rules are to create clarity in my action and also for me to understand what it is that I have to play with. If I open the fridge and I only have 5 ingredients, I know what I'm working with. If I open the fridge and I'm told I'm not allowed to touch X, Y, or Z, I know what I'm working with. So this is about minimizing the number of decisions that I need to make in a given week and in a given period of time. And it's also around having clarity around where I want to go with respect to my life. And as I have a new set of rules and as I watch the habits and things that emerge as a result of the rules that I put in place, I start to see where I need to have new rules moving forward, new rules that move me forward on that trajectory of growth. One that I'm going to have to put in place for Q3. I'm sure some of you have already done this one, but there's going to be a no phone in the bedroom rule. It's not enough for me to just create that framework for myself. I somehow still let it and enable it to sneak in. I've got all sorts of excuses as to why I need to have my phone beside me in bed. And so that is going on the rule list as we move into Q3. The other piece that I'm going to put onto our rule list is we've developed, and this is totally a function of being home with the pandemic, but we come in the evening and we sort of rally in the living room, we flip on the TV, even if it's on in the background. And I actually really want to start to limit the amount of time that I spend in front of a television at night, even if it is on in the background. And so we're going to limit the TV to twice a week. These aren't rules I'm going to have to live by forever. These aren't rules that are necessarily relevant to you. And that's the distinction between creating your own rules to live by and the rules of society. It's acknowledging that there are rules in the culture scape, to borrow Vishen's language, that if we don't intentionally decide to deploy or reject, we fall victim to. And so this exercise of creating your own rules is really about having your own set and series of boundaries. When I talk to practitioners in the context of our masterminds and on our programs, I'll often make the distinction from a language perspective of a rule versus a framework. Because one of the things I find most dangerous in our own lives is when we take other people's rules and we adopt them as our own. So frequently when we're talking about how do we execute on something in business or how should I think about the types of offers that I put into the marketplace, I'll share with people our frameworks, but I'll be very clear that these are not rules. Because when we adopt other people's rules unintentionally, we start to play somebody else's game. There are very few rules that I will ever attempt to project onto other people, but I believe strongly in the opportunity to share frameworks. And so in that spirit, if this idea of creating a series of rules to live by is something that resonates with you, then I'm going to encourage you to take those steps to start to put your own rules into place. Look at where you want to go. Understand the goals that you have in the next year, in the next 3 years. Understand what you want to have happen with respect to your health, to your happiness, to your family, and decide whether or not there are a few key rules that you can put in place, that you can choose to live by, that are going to change the way you play the game. This is a conversation, and this is an idea that I would actually love to make two-way. I'd love to hear what you have to say about this idea of creating rules in your life. If you head on over to my Instagram, which is Dr. Megan Walker, we are running our weekly poll. And this week we are asking all about rules and the rules that you live by. Do you live by rules in how you play the game of life? And what are some of the rules that you have chosen to make a priority for yourself over the course of this year or this quarter? Head on over to Instagram. You can catch more of this conversation taking place over there. We've got some exciting episodes coming up for you over the next few weeks. We're talking all about launching podcasts. We're getting into some really amazing entrepreneurial stories. And as we get deeper into the summer, I'm going to be sharing a few more solo episodes and ideas related to time systems, related to the lessons that I've learned through the last year of COVID and our lockdowns. And I have some really compelling guests speaking to the true spirit of entrepreneurship. I will be back here next Tuesday where we have the conversation moving forward once again. As always, I'm Megan Walker, wishing you an impactful week ahead.